We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven, and I am the host, as always. We're hoping our stream ends properly this time, but I had a good time conversing with you guys online about our fun end to the stream last time. So we'll see how it goes today. It might be a little bit of an adventure, but Tyler's here as well, man. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty well. That was certainly something, a first for us. You know, sometimes maybe we've ended it too early, or I forget to hit the button. We've never both intentionally just sat there and hit the button for 5 minutes and had nothing happen. So, we'll see what happens. The show has started, at least. Let's see how it ends.
Yeah, should be a good time. I before we jump in here, I've got to ask you. You saw Dune 2 the other night. You had kind of a more of a lukewarm reaction to it than most people. Obviously, no spoilers here. I did not enjoy the first one. I thought it was very clunky and confusing. Should I see the second one, Tyler?
Yes, absolutely. Did you see the first one in the theater?
Yeah, in theater. Not in IMAX, okay. But in the theater, yeah.
Yeah, so I definitely liked it, the first one. It was slower, but like there was a lot of buildup, and unfortunately it cuts off right when things happen.
Yes.
You know, so the second one, I don't know how much I would love it at home, because I watched it with my wife before we saw the second one. Mm. She had not seen it. She didn't love the first one as much. It was pretty slow, and it was on our, you know, home TV, which is not IMAX. Saw the one in IMAX, and she loved it. Like, she totally loved it as someone who was not a huge fan of the first one. I really did enjoy... The movie's very good. I just wanted more. And it's a sicko. Like, I wanted 2 more hours of the movie.
2 more hours of a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, and not, like, tacked on to the end, but, like, just fleshing out characters and stuff. So, but that's, like, a testament to how good it was, because I wanted to sit with it longer. And I wish they had sat with it longer.
Gotcha.
So maybe that's just me, but it's very good. Definitely see it. You will like it. And there's no shot there's not a third movie.
Yeah, it was a book trilogy first, right?
There's several books. The Dune Part 1 and 2, from my understanding, is just the book, the first book. And I believe that the third one they're setting up is Dune Messiah. I won't like spoil anything after that, but like they very much set it up for a Part 3.
Gotcha.
It was like, it's like if the Lord of the Rings trilogy kind of ended with 2 towers.
Mm.
Not quite, but like there's more.
All right. I gotcha. Okay. Cool. Sounds good. Well, we'll see what happens there. Okay. So tonight we are covering the defensive tackle position. This is kind of, again, our way of covering the draft and ways for the Chargers to add to these particular positions. Kind of highlighting best case scenarios, possible scenarios, you know, day 3 scenarios. If we have enough guys graded, I think we might have a couple of day 3 guys in this conversation, but we'll see how that goes. I think let's start with the revisiting some 2023 conversations, because it is going to be really interesting, similar to Asante Samuel Jr., how Morgan Fox fits into this kind of defense. He is under contract. He is a very affordable contract, one of the most efficient pass rushers in the league. Last year, the Chargers actually cut his snaps down after signing him to the extension, which never made any sense to me. He was still relatively at the same rate in terms of win percentage and pass rush productivity. What do you make of his potential fit in the Jesse Minter defense and in kind of pulling from this Ravens world?
He's nothing like what McDonald or Minter have had with the Ravens and with Michigan in terms of really anything. I mean, Michigan and the Ravens, they ask for run defenders first, guys who are powerful, bigger, and then they rush second. That is not really Morgan Fox. I think he improved upon that in 2022 towards the end, and then just they didn't play him on early downs in 2023, so it's hard to really tell how much changed there. But he's a pass rusher first, and these D tackles for these schemes don't necessarily have to be that. On top of that, he's 264, or he was 264 on his RAS. I don't know what he is now. He did gain weight at the end of 2022 that he told me. I just don't know how much, and I certainly don't think it was 35 more pounds. Mm-hmm. Not that you have to be over 300. Justin Madueke, who's the best D tackle of all of them, he's 294 on his RAS. Again, I don't know how much has changed, but it's a big jump. And his arms are, he's not a powerful guy. He doesn't have long arms. He's not a bigger guy. He's not an anchor guy. And he's not a run defender first guy. So he doesn't really fit. At the same time, he's their best D tackle. He's their best option right now.
Yeah.
Maybe Luck develops. Maybe Ogbonia develops. But Morgan Fox is by far and away their best, most proven and best option right now. So he's a lot of talk about, you know, potential cut or trade or something. I could see why you'd explore those options. But at the end of the day, you have too many roster needs. He's not that expensive. You don't get a ton by cutting him. This isn't like an $8 million or like a $6.5 million cap savings with Eric Kendricks. Like, this is someone who is good. He's the best of your room right now. You don't save a lot by moving on from him. Mm-hmm. He's here to stay. I think he'll be a good player. I wouldn't be surprised if Minter goes, okay, this is what I've got to work with. Let's make the most of it. And I could see him having a really solid year, but he doesn't really fit what they have done normally. So I don't see a world where they extend him necessarily. He'll play well. I just don't think he fits.
Yeah. So to your point, the Chargers listed him at 275. So he's definitely undersized. He's always been undersized, but there is a very specific role for him where he's kind of, you know, four tech, five tech, and he's able to rush the passer, is able to gap shoot, and he's made a very nice career for himself, especially being an undrafted free agent. I don't think he is a typical fit for what the Chargers are going to be looking for at the position. So I think you kind of have two options. Obviously, you're talking about, you know, keeping him on the roster, you maximize him. And how do you do that? Well, you would need to get two other defensive tackles who can stuff the run and take that pressure off of him. Very similar fashion to what the Chargers did previously by, you know, acquiring Sebastian Joseph Day and Austin Johnson. And then Morgan Fox was kind of the missing piece there. So I don't think you necessarily need like a 360-pound nose tackle, for example, but we can talk about him. But you do need two other guys. I think Morgan Fox can fit. He can carve out a role, but he's never really going to be like a true three down defensive tackle because that's not his body type. The other option, of course, would be to explore a trade market for him. Obviously, the former Chargers head coach is now in San Francisco. Maybe Brandon Staley could convince the 49ers to go throw, you know, day three pick towards the Chargers and reunite with his guy. So what would you make of his potential trade market? And is that something you would prefer instead of keeping him?
No, I think you keep him unless you're in this stage where you go, yeah, we'll win in 2025. Let's blow up the entire roster. No, I think you keep him. If you're trying to be competitive this year, he gives you the best shot. And you're not taking a D tackle in round one. You could take one in round two. If you trade back, yeah, I could see that. And I think we did in our Chargers mock, or maybe it's the third round. There's just too many what ifs. The idea of having, yes, they live in a 3-4, sure, technically that is their base, but like they're not going to be in a 3-4 a ton. You're gonna have four guys down. And if you are, you can get away with having, if you have three great edge rushers, if you have Joey, Khalil, and Thule, then maybe you can get away with something like that. But you're going to move on from one, from Joey, let's say. I don't see any world where you trade him away. I would get it. I would understand why. Like, he literally is not a fit, but he's your best player on the defensive line as a D tackle right now. So, and even if you have, like, even if you keep him, you could pair him with, let's say it's Sweat or Jenkins or whoever, as a stylistically different, completely different guy, and just work things that way.
Yeah, I think that's the route I would go as well. I trust Jesse Minter to figure out a role for him to play and be able to rush the passer. And maybe he's not the exact size profile, but maybe you kind of look at Justin Madubuike's role and reduce it, you know, by 25% and say, this is our Morgan Fox. He doesn't necessarily fit exactly our prototype, but this is what we got. So I think to that extent, the defensive tackle conversation should be kind of geared towards those physical run defending defensive tackles. I think that's going to be kind of what they're looking for. And also Scott Matlock was kind of drafted to replace Morgan Fox down the road. So he's kind of, he's more of their typical thresholds. Like, I think he's like 290 ish. If I remember correctly. So Matlock will fit. I don't know how much I expect him to play. But I think for what the Chargers will be looking for at the defensive tackle position, we're looking at these guys who can definitely plug holes, play the run, create tackles for loss, and push the pocket as well. So you're not necessarily looking for high-end pass rushers, but guys who can push the pocket there. So
yeah,
just real quick from a free agency standpoint, we talked about A'shaun Robinson a bit on the Chargers channel. Is there any other defensive tackle that you kind of would like to see them target?
I mean, I mentioned Javon Kinlaw before, but that was more of a comp pick play. Plus, he did fit the 300-plus threshold. I'd have to relook at who is available. There's is it Rankins who's available?
Sheldon Rankins, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so him, he's a bit bigger. But otherwise, I didn't love the grouping. Well, I liked the grouping, but we looked at it from a perspective of what can the Chargers afford, and unfortunately, a lot of these guys are not affordable.
Yeah, yeah. I would say maybe a Daquan Jones type, but he's like 33. So he is kind of a nose tackle type. So
yeah, there's like a few 34-year-olds that are available, but
yeah. Yeah. It is going to be really interesting to see how they attack this position. Wow. Greg Gaines would be interesting. He's number 218 on Brad's free agency ranking list.
I had a conversation about Gaines and it was very like, what he was able to do without Aaron Donald, or what he didn't do without Aaron Donald, was telling.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But I mean, I'm not opposed, and that he wouldn't be expensive.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the draft prospects here. This is going to be the bulk of our conversation. I do think it is worth having a discussion about Byron Murphy versus Jerzon Newton, they're the two first round defensive tackle types. It's been a really weird journey for Jerzon Newton from a draft hype perspective. I get he's maybe a little bit undersized, but man, this is still one of the guys who I watched tape on and said, this is one of the best players in the class. This is one of the most impactful players in this class. And, you know, I remember when the stock exchange guys did a fix your franchise on the Chargers, like I'm pretty sure they took or at least considered Jerzon Newton at the time. And now he's like potentially falling out of the first round. I don't understand that. So what are your thoughts on Newton first and foremost? And then we'll get to Murphy, because I do think Murphy is probably the better fit for what the Chargers would want.
Yeah, no, Newton to me, I do him as the lead D tackle of the two of them. And it was a surprise to see Murphy ascend as far as he did. Newton, depending on which, you know, database you look at, he's still kind of like a top 20, 25-ish guy. But I was so surprised to see him drift so far. Whereas last year, you know, you see like, not quite the same, but like Lucas Van Ness, Brian Brazee, Kalijah Kansi, these guys who could play like some interior or were interior guys. And they were thought of higher and moved higher sometimes on some boards. And I don't see any of those guys being a better fit as an interior guy than someone like, I'm just forgetting his name, Johnny Newton here. So I don't understand why he's falling other than positional value. And I wouldn't do it at the sake of switching for Byron Murphy, but Murphy, someone pointed out to me a while ago, months ago, this is DT1 back when he was, I think, in the 40s or 50s. And I went, what are you talking about? Why is Murphy DT1? I don't understand how that would be the case. And then over the course of several months, he ended up becoming what seems to be the DT1 and now a potential top 15 pick, at least top 15 in terms of rankings on boards. Why do you feel he's a better fit for the Chargers than...
You know, I'm going to recant that, actually, because okay. I thought he was much larger. I did not realize that he is 6 feet tall, like flat. Mm. Like he's more undersized than Johnny Newton is, and I never realized that. So yeah, I'm going to recant that. I don't think either are fits for what they would look like, actually, you know, looking at it. But I think it's a conversation worth having, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they're close, like at least the weight version of it. I think Murphy was 294.
297, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then Newton, I forget what Newton. No, Newton, did Newton even weigh in?
I don't think Newton did anything at the combine, no.
Yeah. So I like both of them. There was a point where I genuinely believed if the Chargers traded back, I would take Newton, and I would understand that. Mm-hmm. A lot of question marks about the edge rushers. Each of them has question marks. Burst could be his age, Latu with the medicals. Turner, I didn't like as much this year. He supposedly was going to be. Whereas I think with the D tackles, I do like them. They feels cleaner outside of maybe the fit like you discussed.
Yeah. No, I'm on the same page. I think Newton, his tape is significantly better, but Murphy was always, you know, profiled as like this height, weight, speed, like juice, you know, athletic traits. And, you know, Newton was a 4-year college player instead of 3, and like, you know, didn't have the same kind of athletic traits. And Murphy is certainly very athletic, but I just learned that he was 6 foot and I thought he was like 6'4". So that's kind of breaking my brain a little bit. I'm taking Newton all day. I think Newton is just so much more violent with his hands, refined with his hands. Okay. Jesse says that Newton was 6'1", 5", 304. So there you go. I think Newton's a better player right now. If you had told me that one of these players is 6 foot and the other one is 6'1", like I don't think size should matter for that conversation. I think you evaluate the tape, you evaluate the hand usage, you evaluate the explosiveness and the disruptiveness, and Newton checks all of those boxes. And I know he's not like a super efficient run defender, but he led all of the 2024 prospects in total run stops. Like he can defend the run, and he's kind of pegged as like exclusively a pass rusher, which I don't understand.
No, run defense, I think, is of the things I've graded him on, that seems to be the weakest, I guess, but that's not really like it's a weak spot. It just is not as strong as some of the other things. I do think he's a much better rusher, but I don't think he's a poor run defender either.
Yeah. So I don't think the Chargers take a DT in round one. I think they have obviously bigger needs. For you, what's an ideal place to grab a one of these defensive tackle prospects?
Yeah, easily round two for me in whatever order they decide to go. At this point, looking at last year, I had 5 players with the first or second, or 5 D tackles with the first or second round grade. I've already got 8 so far with the first or second round grade. Mm-hmm. Newton being the top guy, and then several other guys down from there. Have not watched everyone. I'm starting to get to all the 37 LSU guys. but I really do like the second round group in whatever order they want to go. Michael Hall is my guy in the second round. I think statistically, he popped. I was like, okay, great. I should watch this guy, and he just exploded. You know, to me, if you want to find somebody else who can just terrorize the line of scrimmage, Michael Hall, I think, it is genuinely a tier better than the next group, in my opinion, that I've watched. If you want a pure run defender, maybe that's different, but I think he's solid enough all around and is a good pass rusher. Some of these guys, you start to lose some of that juice as a rusher, so it's tough to say. I just watched Sweat yesterday and a little bit today. I don't know. Like, I don't think it's a requisite that the Chargers need to, because they prefer big run defenders, need to just go get Tavondre
Sweat. Biggest one.
The biggest one, yeah. And I'd get it. Like, I would get it. There's good film on there for sure. I just don't I don't know about like just so aiming towards one specific type and a very outlier kind of type that you just go with Sweat in the second round. So, but I do like the second round. Whatever style Minter think fits best, go for it. Hall's very different than Sweat, who's very different than Dorlis, who's very different than how do you say his name? Rook. I'm not gonna say his last name because I still can't figure out.
I think it's Orohoro.
Maybe. Okay, Rook or Orohoro. All right, I'll get that one.
There's five O's in it.
So. I figured out Tuipulotu too, so I'll figure it out. announcers will not be able to say that one. No. Fisk is very different. Carter's very different. McKinley Jackson's very different. So it just kind of depends on the angle they want to go. But I do really like D tackle in the second round.
Yeah, I think for me, second round, I like the players definitely at that time. I think third round, that's where you really start to see things fall off. And you know, I thought I had something. I really liked Mason Smith and the flashes and the length. And, you know, this guy is 6'5 with 35-inch arms. And you see that flash all over the tape. And I was like, this is a third round grade for me. Like, I feel great about it. Nobody's talking about him that much. And then Danny Jeremiah put him number 50 in the top 50 today. So,
really?
I guess potentially a lot of love out there for Mr. Mason Smith. You look at his RAS comparisons and you're looking at Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams are two of his first three. So I think that would be an awesome fit for what you're looking for out of a three tech guy who can kick inside from time to time, just be able to control the defensive line of scrimmage in a way that not really many of the other ones in this class can, from what I've seen. Devondre Sweat definitely can control the line of scrimmage, but Texas kind of used him more as a gap shooter, which never made sense for me. So of any player who I watched just be asked to control the line of scrimmage, control the point of attack, Mason Smith was the best one there. And I would say second is probably Chris Jenkins. That's probably a really close conversation. Also, in terms of RES comparisons, one of the comparisons for Chris Jenkins is Justin Madubuike, who obviously the Ravens selected. So I think those are the two that I would target for the Chargers.
Yeah.
Obviously, Chris Jenkins has a lot of hype. He's, you know, the mutant of all mutants, which really was not true. he tested well, but he did not test that well. It seems like if they want him, they'd have to take him in the top 50. Mason Smith, I still feel like, is probably a third rounder, but I think those two would be like my best case scenario, best fits for the Chargers on defensive tackles.
Yeah, I just started watching Mason Smith before this. I have not slapped a grade on him yet, but it feels like kind of the range you're thinking. The very first play of the Missouri game,
it's great.
35-inch arms, long arm, tackle for loss, and it's like, great, good first impression.
Yep.
And it really did fit what I feel like that we saw with Michigan, where these guys are controlling the line of scrimmage. Obviously, with the length, he absolutely can. There's moments where it's like one arm this guy, one arm's on the other guy, and like he's holding up at the line of scrimmage really well. I was surprised that he listed as heavy as he was. I couldn't tell because he's got the length, and he looks taller than some of the D-tackles I was watching. Well, okay, that's not fair. The last D-tackle I watched was Sweat before him, so I guess everyone looks like a skinnier, slender guy. Yeah. But I was surprised that he was a 304 or whatever he was. So, yeah, Mason Smith was really enticing. I've only got two games of his, but really liked him. I was like, okay, if you can't get A in round one or two, who can you find maybe later on? But if Daniel Jeremiah is saying top 50, then maybe that's a sneaky round two sort of guy. I feel like the LSU guys were further back, but Mason Smith has been the one who's been climbing up the board. So that's why I wanted to watch him today. And I get it. I would understand why. Not a pass rusher immediately by any means that I saw at least through two games, but a very good line of scrimmage controller and good motor.
Yeah, I think that's what you're... And I think you could play the nose for a little role. I think ideally you have him as kind of like a two tech or a three tech. You know, he's not head up on the center kind of role. I did watch Mekhi Wingo, his teammate. That's an undersized pass rusher if there's ever one. I really like the film, but I don't think he's nearly as good of a run defender.
Yeah, I have not watched him. I will say that Missouri, I started to look up their offensive linemen because I thought they were doing so well against LSU's defensive line. So if that speaks to some of the other D tackles, then we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Thomas has us here. Rook or Orohoro. Orohoro.
Orohoro.
All right.
Rook Orohoro. Combining for the sack are Tuli Tuipulotu and Rook Orohoro. God, I'm not gonna get this, man.
I do like Rook a lot, but I think he's probably more on the pass rush side, gap shooting side.
He is.
You know, I think if you're kind of looking at the draft in certain ways, like I completely agree with you about Michael Hall. I would love Michael Hall in the second round. I think if you couldn't get Michael Hall, I think Rook would be kind of like your discount.
Yeah. Yep.
In the same way that like if you can't get Chris Jenkins in the second round, Mason Smith is like your third round guy.
Yeah. I'm cool with that. That absolutely makes sense. That's a good one too, like that. I don't really see Dorlus as quite the fit.
As no. Like, he's
a better rusher for sure, but almost primarily as a pass rusher. He's got the numbers, obviously.
Yeah.
Edge D tackles flip between him, but
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I like him. I get it. I just don't think it's a fit, but I like him. I like him some more than some of their D tackles. I just don't think it's a fit.
If this were the Staley defense, I would be 100% pounding the table for Brandon Dorlus in the second round, because that's like such a natural transition from Fox to Dorlus. You know, both of those guys could do a lot of similar things in terms of rushing from every spot on third down. And Dorlus's pass rushing tape is so much fun, but
it is
kind of not a great run defender. And he weighed in heavier at the combine than at the Senior Bowl, but I think at the Senior Bowl he was like 270. And something like that, very, very light. I think he was trying to maybe do some edge work there. So he did weigh in at 283 at the combine, which I think is, you probably want to see him around that 280 mark. But yeah, he's not a fit for what the Chargers are looking for.
Yeah, I'm gonna scroll through the rest of some of the guys that we've watched. I mean, we've hit on most at this point. Dorlus, Horrell, Sweat, Fisk. I watched McKinley Jackson because he was the other really, really, really big guy. I'm okay.
He's really, really big. How big is he?
He's pretty big. Not Tavondre Sweat big. I'll have to look it up. Great. Now I got to look it up.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. McKinley Jackson. Of course, you can't find it. Because I suck. Or maybe he didn't have an RAS. No, he definitely tested.
I'm pretty sure he did. I can't remember what it was, though. I have the RAS website up. I guess I could look.
I think it's the slowest thing in the world. I'll get to some other D tackles eventually. It's one that I'm finding. I kind of hit a brick wall right around Mason Smith today, I feel like, looking at the consensus board. Although I like Dwayne Carter, but I feel like it's like, okay, I'm starting to find that
some guys are not. McKinley Jackson is 6'1 and 326, so he's built like a globe, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I have not watched McKinley Jackson, but I've heard the same thing, like large nose tackle, but your review of him does not make me want to watch him.
Boy, do I have a really big D tackle that can't stop the run for you. Hey, is that D tackle who wears
He wears number 21. Yeah. 460 is probably lowballing it, honestly. I watched that man play Utah twice. There's no way he's less than that.
God bless him. That's impressive, man.
Yeah. Charlie Sinclair asking about you and I, Boyd. I've not been able to get any film on him. I know the bootleg guys really, really speak very highly of him.
Yeah.
I think Brett was on when he was on Chargers Weekly, kind of described him as like a round four guy. Honestly, I have not watched. He was not invited to the combine, unfortunately. So I have nothing but Brett's word and Alex Katzen's word, who they both really like a lot.
Yeah, Christian Boyd. So the only thing I've got is that he's fourth out of the 24 D tackles we have on the composite stats rankings. Part of that is definitely, you know, competition. So we got to weigh that in, obviously. But
sure,
fifth in PRP, third in pass rush win rate, seventh in run stop rate. So the numbers are there. So that's good. Like, again, what do we always say? Got to dominate the competition. So it seems like he did, but I've not been able to watch him. I for a second, like, okay, I can't find the film. I was like, okay, maybe I'll just YouTube an entire 3-hour game and watch the podcast. But like, never mind. What am I doing?
Yeah. There's some other ones that I want to get to. The one from Iowa, I forget his name. He's got an interesting profile from a physical standpoint. I watched the Miami defensive tackle, Leonard Taylor. One thing that I've realized is that a lot of the ACC offensive lines are like legitimately terrible. And Leonard Taylor was just like running free all day long against Florida State. It was the first tape I watched. And I was like, oh, like that's really cool. And then I just realized that the Florida State offensive line is atrocious.
Yeah. I don't know if they have any draft eligible guys. I haven't heard of any. I don't remember the last time I ever watched a Florida State offensive lineman.
I cannot think of any either.
Sorry, Florida State. Love your edge rushers. Love your defensive line. Love
defense a lot of backs are great.
Secondary guys. DBs are great, obviously. Offensive line, not so much.
Yeah. Charlie with a super chat question earlier. He wants to know center or defensive line round two.
Ooh, geez. Definitely depends on who's there. I guess in both cases, but in particular center. If Frazier's gone, I don't know if I love enough of the centers to go with a second round center, but by default of where they're at in their roster, they have to find a center at some point. So they might be forced to reach and get the center that like the next best one if Frazier's not there. And obviously there are two centers that are supposed to be like round one ish guys aren't there. Probably center, but only because their roster demands it.
Yeah, I feel like it's easier to find a center in free agency or later in the draft than it would be defensive linemen. I mean, once you get past round three in the draft, like you're really kind of aiming for a project. And I do think the Chargers, you know, defensive line is a harder position to adjust to in the NFL, but they do need kind of a semi-instant impact from a defensive lineman. And I think you probably need to do that in round two if you get the choice. So this is just, again, a conversation that proves why the Chargers should trade down and acquire some more picks.
Oh, yeah. Get both. And no, we didn't do that in the Chargers mock, but we did third round center, second round defensive lineman. So I guess that's our answer. But Frazier wasn't there. So I guess what we would do is defensive lineman.
Yeah, I really love this center class. And I haven't even watched Mason McCormick, who could play center.
Right.
If you put him to center on the RIS website, he's a literal perfect 10. And he called protections as a guard, which is insane to me, having played the position. So I think center is your like round three, round four, like that's your sweet spot for center. We talked a little bit about free agency wise, adding somebody who could snap the ball. Maybe that's a Graham Glasgow, and then you draft a Tanner Tortellini or Hunter Norzad or whoever on third, on round three, round four, Cedric Van Pran. And then Glasgow's your starting guard, and that rookie is your starting center. Maybe that center kind of takes a year and acclimates to the NFL a little bit. So I just think it gives them some more options that way if you kind of wait on center.
I love that we've all unanimously decided that Tortellini is what we're going to call him.
Did I call him Tortellini?
You did.
Oh, shoot.
I get it, though. Like, we all on three, everyone was like, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, Tortellini. And I get it. Tanner Bordellini. Oh, I have not watched, but
the tape is fun, man. He's a fun player.
Really? Okay, great.
Yeah, I haven't sat down and like graded him, but I've just like watched him while watching Braylon Allen, and it's fun. Mm. It's fun.
Okay.
I apologize, Tanner Bordellini. I thought I said Bordellini, but I guess I am hungry right now, so maybe Tortellini.
I can't wait to watch Tyler Steak and Rice next. the defensive tackle.
Yeah. So I know we saw some. Did you call him Tortellini? I guess I did. My bad. Somebody was saying in the chat earlier about like needing a true one technique. I think that's the free agency guy for me. Like, I think you solve nose tackle and free agency for me. It's just an easier thing to find, you know, when you're watching A'shaun Robinson or Daquan Jones. Linval Joseph played well for the Bills. You could bring him back if you wanted to. I think you solve nose tackle and free agency. Plus Otito, theoretically another year removed from the injury, I think he could play, you know, your backup nose role still. And then you kind of have Fox and Scott Matlock and a rookie kind of handle the 3-tech, 4-tech roles that they will want to do.
Unless they pay one of these guys a good amount of money, I could see the veteran that they bring in competes with Otito for that spot. I think Otito genuinely has a shot to be at the starter this year.
Yeah, I think I was really surprised that they got as much out of him as they did this past season.
Totally.
And I guess we should have said that. I mean, coming off of the knee injury, I wasn't expecting much. But when he was in there, I really liked the film. I think the numbers are still pretty good. So I think he still has that potential to be a starting nose tackle in the league. But I think you definitely want to, you know, sign some competition. I think that's the easiest way to upgrade those tackles in free agency.
Yeah, I'd agree. I can't think of other defensive tackle free agents that the ones that were available that we discussed with like Harbaugh Ortiz connections, there were so few. And they were really, really cheap veteran kind of guys.
Yeah, that is going to be kind of a limitation, I think, of the coaching staff being so heavily college-based. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like on offense, there's so many guys that the Chargers could pull from in terms of free agency connections because their coaches have been, you know, all over the place. I mean, Sanjay Lyle was in Seattle. You had Houston. You have New York. You have all these other places. So it is going to be interesting to see what kind of veteran defensive players they're able to pull from. I mean, obviously they have like multiple connections from Jesse Minter. That's about it. I mean, they have like former college guys, you know, they could pull some from former position coaches and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But that is maybe a potential weakness of hiring so many college guys for your staff.
Yeah. I don't know how much it'll matter. So the Chargers previously, it was Jay Rogers, Giv Smith. So NFL guys, previously NFL guys. So yeah, I don't know.
I'm just going to look up real quick. We don't have a composite rankings for free agent defensive linemen, do we?
For free agent defensive linemen, I don't know. If I did that, good for me, but I don't recall.
Okay. I'm just going to look up real quick about some run defense stats for
free agents. Did I? It'd be really...
So we talked about A'shaun Robinson. Who's the next one? They could sign Folarunsu Fatukasi. The Jaguars just cut him. He's a run stuffing defensive tackle. His run stop percentage was 10.5. It was 13th highest in the league last year. He's a one tech for sure all day.
Hmm. Okay.
Maybe Shelby Harris. He's not really a one tech though, and he's old.
It's an old D tackle class for sure. Did I do a D tackle? No, I didn't. Bummer.
You're good. You're good. DJ Reader, too, very classic one tech, but I think Brad has him at like $12 million, which the Chargers cannot do.
No. I love the Wilkins stuff. People really want Wilkins. I totally get it. He was awesome. He's awesome. I want to say he was my DT1 in that class, or I thought he would be.
I probably had Dexter Lawrence higher.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember.
But Wilkins is great.
Don't think I had Tillery higher.
I definitely did not. It's all good. Mr. Sarl on here. Hey guys, thanks for all the great content. Really is a great help in following the NFL and the Chargers all the way from Denmark. Bolt up, let's go.
My awesome.
Got some Denmark heritage in it. Fun fact.
Cool. I don't think I do.
I'd be pretty surprised if you did, bud.
I'm half white. I'm everything else.
That's true. I thought your mom was like Italian.
Italian, Irish, German, Dutch.
Have you ever done a DNA test?
No. My mom has. I have not. But judging by my height, I can confirm I'm Asian. So.
Fair. Yeah. You should do one, though. It's fun. It's a cool thing to look at. It gives you like specific traits from your family based off of your DNA and things like that. So, yeah.
Anyways. Grandpa, big forehead, dad side blood pressure.
Our guy Nate over here, he says, when he watches Michigan, I feel like the DTs move around a lot and athleticism is important for them. You prioritize size there instead. What do you think there?
I don't know if I'd prioritize size specifically. I just don't think you can be an outlier. Like, you can't go get a really, you can't go get Braden Fisk. He's actually heavier. You can't go get Morgan Fox. You can't find a 270-pound guy and ask him to work and play the thing the same way. So it's more of like a, how do you play the run? How's your run defense?
Yeah.
And if you happen to be, 280, okay, fine. If you're 300, great, whatever. As far as athleticism goes, I think there's like 15 D tackles in this class with an 8 or better RAS score. So I think you get both.
Yeah, I think length is important. I mean, Chris Jenkins has 34-inch arms. Mason Smith has 35, for what it's worth. So I think length is important. You've got to be able to control the line of scrimmage. You've got to be able to push the pocket. So those two things, I think, are the most important. And, can you be undersized and do that? Sure. But, like Brandon Dorlus, a 280, he's not really a pocket pusher.
No.
Dwayne Carter, I think, is a little undersized, but he's also not like a finesse player either. So I think it's more about controlling line of scrimmage, being able to sack and shed, being able to push the pocket. That was one of the cool things that I enjoyed watching, is how they would always have one guy just like really pushing the pocket and then do stunts around that.
Yep.
And so, yes, you do have to be athletic. Chris Jenkins can play every spot across the line. Same thing with Justin Madubuike. But it starts with being able to have power, strength, control the line of scrimmage, push the pocket. Those are like the main two responsibilities. And then everything else kind of builds out after that.
Yep. Totally agree.
So I'm excited about this group, though. I've loved watching it. I think this defensive tackle class is probably the best one that I've studied so far. Mm-hmm. You have the two first round talents. You have a lot of day two guys that I really like. I think usually in a good class, from what I've experienced, you have like maybe one first rounder and then like three or four day two guys. This one has a lot of, high end talent, a lot of depth to it. So it is kind of another one of those positions that I really think that the Chargers have to address on day two and add one of those guys to it.
Yeah. So I've had five, you had four second round grades, no first round grades in 2022's draft. Mm-hmm. And then 2023, I can load it.
I think last year's was bad.
Yeah. It was like some good players. You had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 with a first or better. I had 5. And I think this year we're going to end up with, if you and I are pretty close, like 8 or 9, depending on where you have them. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 for you, and four, five, six, seven, I think eight for me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, better at least so far class. Depth, I don't know. But at some point, I just genuinely do not like watching defensive tackles on day three. Like, it is a rough one.
Yeah, this is not a year where I'm going to get too many day three guys. I don't have the time for it and stuff like that. So, you know, I thought I found like a day three guy, Mason Smith, that I really liked. And then, like I mentioned, DJ was like number 50. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. But I get it. I think he's, you know, he's got the length, size, profile that really plays in the NFL. So,
yeah, it does.
We'll see where he ends up. All right, Tyler, any other thoughts on the defensive tackle and drafting monsters for Minter, which was a great title, by the way. Good job.
Thank you. No other further thoughts at this point. I will try to keep mining for the guys later on. If this D tackle class is as good as it's supposed to be, there should be some guys that I can find later on that are pretty good. But yeah, it's been a fun watch with this group for sure. We talk about corner a lot. We talk about wide receiver. I still think wide receiver is the best group so far, but D tackle is definitely pretty close.
Yeah, I think, wide receiver is the best group, which is no shocker. I feel like that's been the case the last few years. I would say the high end talent of the offensive tackle class would be second, but I don't, it's you run out of tackles. Like after you get through eight tackles, it's just kind of a big drop off. Like there's one from Yale. I'm not going to get my hands on Yale tape. I'm sorry. But defensive tackle class, corners, those two positions really have some great options for the Chargers on day two in particular that I would be really excited about.
Yep.
All right. So the moment has come. We're going to see if the stream ends properly this time. Real quick, we are going to do a Q&A on Saturday. So we did not take any questions today, but we're going to be spending all day Saturday, or not all day Saturday, all episode Saturday, taking questions from you guys live in the chat. Super chat's always appreciated. We got a few today. We'll hopefully get some more on Saturday. And hopefully the two Alexes will be joining us as well. So it should be a good time. Hopefully you guys tune in for that. We'll let you know about the specifics later. But that's going to do it for us. We appreciate you guys. As always, bolt up.